Internet redirection in China.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Internet searchers in China using Google are being sent to the company's Hong Kong site instead of its .cn or Chinese site today. It's all part of a months-long battle between Google and China over censorship and supposed hacking issues. Now, Chinese government officials, they responded quickly and angrily today. A Chinese internet regulator said that Google's decision violated a written promise to the government. Many worry that this could further restrict internet access in the communist country. Kaiser Kuo is an independent technology consultant in China. He joins us now from Beijing. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you very much, Steve.
So what kind of effect is this going to have on internet users inside China?
I don't think that there's much of a real effect. I think that the effect is primarily psychological. Google, unlike a lot of other American internet brands, has come to represent China as a part of a global internet. And I think that people are being made aware of the extent to which censorship has sort of cut them off from the rest of the world in some sense.
Your own gut feeling, Kaiser, is Google, able, do you think, to sort of sit out and say, well, you know, I mean, a billion plus Chinese, we're going to stick to our principles on this one?
I don't think that that's what they're doing. I think that they're not compromising on the principle of internet censorship here, but there's a lot of other pieces of Google's business in China that they are fighting hard to preserve. Like the real holy grail, I think, is in mobile, actually, and not in fixed-line PC internet. And they're trying to keep that alive, that part of the business alive in China.
But, hey, is this story more about Chinese freedom, or is this about, you know, the growth of this big American company, Google?
I think that the story has been cast as one all about Chinese internet freedom. I don't think that it's to be, you know, dismissed as something about pure business story. There's obviously a lot of ideology mixed up into this.
Well, Kaiser Kuo, independent technology consultant in Beijing, we thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Let's check numbers. Markets in Europe are up about anywhere from 0.5% to 1% right now, and Asia shares were mixed today. The Nikkei fell about 0.5%. Wall Street yesterday, some gains, particularly in health and medical stocks, even after a contentious healthcare debate. The Dow gained about 43 points and closed at 10,785. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner is expected to tell members of the House Financial Services Committee that the housing recovery remains pretty precarious. The Congressional Committee will be asking, should the government be in the business of promoting home ownership? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look.
For years, the government's mantra was, everybody should own a home. So what should the government do now?
I don't think it should be the government's goal to make everyone a homeowner.
Vincent O'Donnell is with the Local Initiative Support Corporation, which focuses on community development.
Some people don't have the means to be owners or the temperament, and the government should not be pushing them in one direction or the other.
Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae are a big part of the government's home ownership strategy. They buy up mortgages, giving banks more money to lend. Former investment banker Doug Elliott is now at the Brookings Institution. He thinks Fannie and Freddie fed the housing bubble by buying up so many shaky loans.
They had $5 trillion of mortgage risk of various kinds.
Elliott says he thinks Fannie and Freddie should be abolished so they don't feed another housing bubble. That's one option to be considered at today's hearing. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the new Harvard Business Review, a source of smart thinking for today's business world. The revival of smart begins at hbr.org. By Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture and creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. More at producemoreconservemore.com. And by MassMutual, for 158 years, providing policyholders with solutions to help meet their financial goals at MassMutual.com.
States are going to have to pay nearly $3 trillion in public pension benefits in the coming decades. And while many states are on track to handle these hefty bills, a handful, such as Illinois, are in big trouble. Reporter Jay Field has more.
Illinois budget analyst Lawrence Massal has this bad news to share. The state has not been funding its promises to its employees and its retirees, and instead has either borrowed or just skipped payments.
Using the pension money to cover essential services like education without having to jack taxes. That's left the state retirement system nearly $80 billion in debt, the largest unfunded pension liability in the nation.
And that is why we're calling for very significant reform of the pension system in Illinois.
For one thing, Illinois plans to reduce benefits for new lawmakers and judges, but Massal says there's something else Illinois can do. It can adopt a model for a well-run pension fund that is headquartered right here, west of Chicago, in the city of Oak Brook. Louis Gosiba runs the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund for city workers, from librarians to trash collectors. Last year, it earned a 25% return.
And 1994, I ran a Chicago Marathon, and that is probably the most physically demanding thing I did until I climbed to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro.
Summiting Kilimanjaro is something people have to do slowly. Gosiba says he's worked at the fund the same way.
Analyzing the risk that you take, it means having a broadly diversified portfolio.
And the fund has one other big reason for its success. The state legislature gave its Board of Trustees special power to force municipalities to pay into the fund even when they're broke. When Illinois lawmakers set up state pension plans decades ago, they saw no reason to do the same. They figured the state would always make good, but it hasn't. And now reformers say it should adopt the same rule the municipal fund did to break the cycle of shirking and borrowing. In Oak Brook, Illinois, I'm Jay Field for Marketplace.
And finally, you might think supersizing food orders is a thing of modern fast food. The Los Angeles Times reports a study being released today in the International Journal of Obesity shows food portions in paintings and depictions of the Last Supper are getting bigger and bigger. Brian Wansink is director of the Cornell University Food and Brand Lab. He did the study with his brother, looking at art going back 1,000 years. The Bible said Jesus fed the multitudes, and these guys say they can prove it. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.